Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me they devised schemes, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more." Why in the world would anybody choose to be a prophet of God? I mean, if you know the track record of the prophets, then you know that this job entails many occupational hazards, not the least of which is death. Throughout the scriptures, God sends his messengers to declare his word, and those messengers are often met with vehemence and anger and violence and death. Sure, once in a while we get a glimmer of hope as their word is met with repentance, but that is certainly the exception. No, instead we see Jezebel, for example, that wicked queen who had killed God's prophets and now sought to make Elijah's life just like theirs. Or there was Elisha, who took up Elijah's mantle, and he wasn't exempt from that threat either, as Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, tried to decapitate him. There was Nehemiah, who is outlining Israel's history for God's people, and he is sure to include that little detail about how God's own people had killed his prophets. There was King Joash, who killed the prophet Zechariah right in the temple in between the altar and the sanctuary. Of course, there was John the Baptist, that last of the Old Testament prophets. Well, he lost his head for exposing the sin of Herod and his sister-in-law. Why in the world would anyone become and choose such a vocation? Well, the truth is, nobody does. Rather, it is God who chooses his messengers, and he's usually met with a litany of hesitancies and excuses about why the person he's chosen would not be a good fit. And yet, God in his mercy assures this prophet that he is with him, that it is not man's word, but God's that he bears, and that God will do with that word as he pleases, regardless of the prophet's ability or charisma. So Jeremiah, he's no different. God calls him in chapter 1, and what does Jeremiah say? I don't know how to speak. Don't send me. I am too young. I am but a youth. And God's reply, well, don't say that. You will go to whom I send you, and you will speak the word I give you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. That's no small promise. It's by that promise that God makes Jeremiah the iron prophet. Chapter 1, verse 18. And so, like a hammer in the hand of Almighty God, Jeremiah is sent forth to nail home the message of repentance and forgiveness to God's people. And oh, what an unpopular message it is. Just before our text, listen to the words that God gives Jeremiah to speak. Jeremiah says, "The Lord said to me, 'Proclaim all these words in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Listen to the terms of this covenant and follow them. From the time I brought your ancestors up from Egypt until today, I warned them, saying again and again, "Obey me." But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubbornness of their evil hearts. So I brought on them all the curses of the covenant that I had commanded them to follow, but that they did not keep." Jeremiah goes on, "The Lord said to me, 'There is a conspiracy among the people of Judah and those who live in Jerusalem. They have returned to the sins of their ancestors, who refused to listen to my words. They have followed other gods to serve them, Both Israel and Judah have broken the covenant I made with their ancestors. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I will bring on them a disaster they cannot escape. Although they cry to me, I will not listen to them. The towns of Judah and the people of Jerusalem will go and cry out to the gods to whom they burn incense, but they will not help them at all when disaster strikes. You, Judah, have as many gods as you have towns, and the altars you have set up to burn incense to that shameful god Baal are as many as the streets of Jerusalem. Anyone want to volunteer to speak that message? And yet it is the word that Jeremiah is sent to proclaim, a word of repentance, a word outlining the sin of God's people and putting it right before them. And the result? Well, that's our text today, the conspiring of ending Jeremiah's life. The death of the prophet. Don't like what he's saying? Then silence him. Get rid of him. Now, you never see this happen with a false prophet. You never see people listening to a false prophet and then subsequently putting him to death because what he's speaking is not controversial, right? This is one of the first and clearest indicators that you're hearing a false prophet. His word draws the masses because it sounds so sweet. Because it's humanistically uplifting. It's flattering to the old Adam. It's what the flesh wants to hear. It's non-confrontational. It's something to which Oprah and all the world with her would say amen. That's never a good sign. But then you get a prophet like Jeremiah. A prophet who comes to hammer home the hard truth. You get a prophet who is faithful to the Lord's word, come hell or high water. You get a prophet who will speak what needs to be spoken, regardless of the consequences. You get that kind of prophet, and he is insufferable, unbearable, intolerable, worthy of only one thing. Get rid of him. Of course, you can kill the prophet, but you cannot kill his message, because his message is nothing less than the word of God. And God is very clear that when his word is spoken, it does what it says, and it never returns to him empty. Now, how easy it would be for us to commiserate with this weeping prophet. How easy it would be to sort of play the victim here, along with Jeremiah. Oh Lord, don't you see how we are trying to be faithful to you? And yet all the world out there would try to silence us at every turn. Oh, that you would smite them and vindicate our cause. Now, fair enough. As we heard in our epistle, to be friends with the world is to be an enemy with God, and to be a Christian is to bear a confession that will be met with opposition. I won't deny that, but when we start playing the victim here with Jeremiah, such a thing sounds eerily similar to the disciples in our gospel reading and what they were ashamed of that they were talking about. Who is the greatest? Well, of course, we're the greatest. We're the ones trying to be faithful to God, right? And yet what Christ would have us know and believe is that the greatest is in fact the least. The one who is utterly depraved and completely needful of Christ. Ironic, isn't it, that the thing which makes you great is not how faithful you are to Jesus, but rather how depraved you are before him. It makes you so great, in fact, that his love and his compassion makes him come to die for you. That's why God sends all of his prophets, right? To proclaim his word to his people who are caught in sin in order that they would be brought to repentance and saving faith. And so when we read this prophet Jeremiah, rather than putting yourself in the prophet's shoes, you find yourself in your sin and in your pride in the shoes of those to whom he speaks, contending with the false prophet that is your old Adam, tempted daily to succumb to the sin that has plagued all of humanity since Adam and Eve, fighting against the glittering idols that the world would give you, and the lie that Satan and your old Adam would tell you is that God's word, it's incredibly annoying, unbearable, invasive, worthy of being put to death. Well, dear friends, you can kill the prophet, but you cannot kill his message. But again, that's not entirely true, is it? Because when the message takes on human flesh, he dies. 2,000 years ago, the message of the prophets died. The one to whom all of the prophets pointed, the lamb who was led to the slaughter, as Jeremiah says, that very word of God took on your flesh and your sin, and he died. Christ knows intimately the hard words of law and judgment that this iron prophet Jeremiah speaks. He knows the message as it is hammered into his very flesh, as it sheds his atoning blood. And he does it all for you. Not because you're great, but precisely because you're not. The disaster of God's judgment for your sin is heaped up upon Christ for you, and nothing come hell or high water will deter him from that message. Those who killed him thought they had succeeded yet again in silencing God's prophet and his message, but this word of God does not end in death. Even the prophets of old did not only proclaim repentance, but also forgiveness and life. And so Christ in his flesh fulfills that word as well. As he rises from the grave 3 days later, no, the word of God could not be silenced. So, dear friends, your sin, your death, it certainly may cling to you, but in Christ, do not be afraid, for he is with you to deliver you. The word of Christ and his cross continues to go forth into your ears even down to this day, despite all of the persecution that it has endured. And it is proclaimed to you even now. Like an iron hammer, it crushes your sin, forgives you, and grants you life eternal. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.